Standardized tests as part of the curriculum is a good thing? No, I really mean it. We'll explain. Our activist of the week is bringing a new and rebellious voice to the blogosphere. We will get Matt Damon's mom's take at some point, update you on trending news, and have a moment of zen. Let's bust some pencils.
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk with Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jed Hopkins. It's time to take a look at the top trending news stories in education.
Walking out, Jed. It's all the rage with high school students. Back in March, Boston students, in fact, 3,500 of them walked out of school.
Wow. Quite a phenomenon.
Now, here it is May, and people are looking back and saying, so what was that all about? Well, there's a great article in The Nation today called Making Sense of the Boston Public Schools Walkout, where two of the student activist organizers, Jahis Balas and Harry Saunders, are interviewed for an in-depth.
Very cool.
Take a look at, here's what happened, here's what we planned, yeah. Here's why we did it.
Excellent.
The idea of students organizing this, what's great is this shows where a lot of people said, obviously kids aren't capable of doing this type of thing on their own. When you read through this extensive interview, you see how impassioned they are.
It's one of the silver linings of this appalling situation, right?
Right, because here we are. Students are engaged in civic responsible, civic critique.
Keep busting those pencils.
Students walking out of school advocating for their rights? I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would think about that.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
This was a thrilling day in Boston. I wasn't in town, but my colleagues at Defending the Early Years were there. They said it was so thrilling to see the thousands of students pouring out and demanding that the budget not be cut for education. And just the mood that was there and the empowerment of the students that was so palpable. And this happened in Detroit, and it's happened in a number of other cities. We saw it in Garfield. You know, maybe that was the first place we saw such strong student participation and activism. But it's growing. This gives me more hope than just about anything I'm looking at right now in education because, you know, young people have a kind of idealism, and they have it's pure in the sense that they refuse to accept that things could be as terrible as they often are. And the kind of cynicism that a lot of us develop over time, they don't really have when they're young. And they have a sense of empowerment, too, because children have that, and they're coming off the heels of a childhood where they still feel like they can do things, they can make a difference in the world. And when they see something that's unjust, and especially when it's affecting them, yeah, they act. They have a strong sense of justice also, young people. When you study developmental psychology, that's something you see starting when kids are 4 and 5. They have a sense of fairness, justice, and that holds all the way through childhood, and it becomes very, very strong in adolescence. So I'm inspired by those young people. I want to ride on their coattails. I hope we'll see more and more of them. And yeah, how do we support them? Probably by just being there with them, by joining them in whatever efforts they have, and whenever we can, you know, making paving the way if we have any chance to do that for them to be able to organize or to take active steps, whichever ones they want. Sometimes they need adults to, you know, unlock a few doors for them.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
This is Busted Pencils Radio. Fully leaded education talk.
She teaches 7th and 8th grade social studies in Chicago. She's a doctor of urban education and has a very unique approach to educating her students about the harm of standardized testing. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Monique Rideau-Smith. How did you come up with this brilliant way to combat dumbass testing?
Well, we were getting ready for the testing season, and it's actually a part of my entire unit. So my students have been learning for the entire year just about real-world issues, about the criminalization of youth of color, about the way youth of color are portrayed in the media and how that plays out in their real-life dealings with the police and their real-life dealings with schools. And so in the third quarter, we get to a place where we basically talk about how different groups, different people are fighting back, how they are resisting and fighting for justice. So one of the groups that I use talking about this is the opt-out movement. So maybe not necessarily a particular group, but we actually talk about the opt-out movement and how that is one way in which people are fighting back and fighting for educational justice. And so We look at different articles, and we really try to really interrogate the history of testing. We talk about schools that have testing versus schools that don't have testing. We talk about the politicians who are really pushing high-stakes testing and where their children go to school. So we actually create an entire unit of several lessons in which we actually dig deep and talk about high-stakes testing standardization.
How do they react to this? I mean, the 7th and 8th graders, okay, I mean, they're typically defiant at that middle school age. And you present them with a defiant curriculum. I mean, does that work out, or do they get into it? Do they look at you like, oh, my God, our teacher's lost it? She's crazy?
I mean, absolutely, they love it. And so many of my students talk about and come back later and just talk about how they did not like social studies. They did not like history. And so they just really get into history, though, with me. Because, again, we're talking about real world issues. And it also makes them feel like they are real people with real ideas who can actually do what PARC and all of these standardized tests are supposed to be doing, which is teaching them how to think critically. So my thing is, if we're really going to teach students how to think critically, let's actually have them do that. Let's actually have them be able to look at both sides of an argument. Let's actually have them be able to evaluate those particular arguments, to push back on those arguments, to learn how to refute and question and challenge those arguments, and then make an empowered and informed decision. So that's actually what I'm doing, what the so-called PARC is supposed to be pushing them to do. This is supposed to be more rigorous, right? And it's supposed to really teach critical thinking skills and see if our students are really thinking critically. Well, I think this unit and my curriculum does a wonderful job of doing that, way more than any kind of ABCD multiple choice test.
How much support and or backlash do you get for doing this? Let's go with support. The history of high-stakes standardized testing and the opt-out movement as a way for fighting for education justice. How much support do you have?
I mean, I get a lot of support. I have support of, you know, actual teachers in the building. I have the support of, you know, teachers for social justice, but other teachers who are around me. A lot of the Chicago Teachers Union is backing me with this work. So I have a lot of support. So I definitely get pushback, but I also definitely also get support. So,
do you hear from parents at all?
Yes. So I definitely hear from parents, and this is actually part of my learning about this as well, is actually to make parents even more involved in the process. So students are learning about this, and so when PARC comes up, the kids are definitely all on top of it and are basically like, nope, not going to take it. However, what sometimes happens in Chicago public schools is there is pushback against that. So especially within Black and Brown schools, there is a push to have principals and the network sometimes actually call parents and try to get them to get their students to opt back in. So you can see how this would technically go, right?
Right.
Get a call basically from your child's principal saying, your child is refusing to take this test. And so immediately sometimes parents get into, you know, going to the kid, like, what do you mean you're refusing to take a test? And so the kids often articulate to them, they bring them the articles that we've studied in class and talk to their parents about it. But, you know, some parents are still skeptical. So I've had parents that actually have come up and they've discussed with me. I actually sent a letter home with parents because there were rumors going around that students would be punished for not taking this test, that we would lose funding, that they would lose their eighth grade activities. So I sent home a letter basically with my personal cell phone number on it saying that if parents wanted to really come and talk to me about, you know, that what was actually true about the test and what was not, that they could do that. But I created a really short letter that basically kind of outlined what was true, what was not. I told them that students would not be punished for not participating in the test. That would be unethical and that they would definitely have my backing if, you know, they were unjustly punished for doing that. And so I have, like I said, I've had parents come up and talk to me and discuss with me and then make the decision of whether they wanted their child to take it or not. So parents have definitely become a part of the process. And I think what I'll be doing in coming years is also making sure that to have some parent meetings and to actually sit down with parents so that they are also learning the same thing that their students are learning. Because sometimes parents don't know this. Parents don't even sometimes know that they have the right to opt out.
Right.
Or to say that they don't want their children to take these tests. So parents are an integral part of this. And I'm definitely thinking of even more creative ways of how I can make sure that they're included in the unit and what students are learning.
So, how dare you take social studies and make it into a critical thinking type of topic there instead of just names, dates, and facts and compliance types of issues? I mean, you're stepping out of the norm here. I mean,
yeah, I didn't know that the stuff that we learned in college about social studies and how to teach was really supposed to be left there. I actually thought we were supposed to do that work once we got into the classroom. So I'll tell you a secret. I've been doing it for 11 years. I guess now I finally just got caught.
But, yeah, I've been doing it my entire career.
Let's go back the other way, though. I mean, because I've seen it, CPS, I have, you know, I'm, Karen Lewis is a guest on the show many times. Your embattled principal, Troy LaRivière, has been on the show many times. I mean, CPS cannot be happy with you. Do they stay out of your business?
I mean, I haven't had any kind of specific pushback toward me for the things or the work that I'm doing. Again, I think because of the opt-out, you know, situation that, you know, now I might be on their radar. But again, I've been doing this critical work for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, again, because of the opt-out and because of things like that they try to threaten us with as far as like funding and those particular things, and if we don't get this particular percent and all of those things, that, like I said, I might be on their radar. But I've actually not heard anything specific or had any kind of specific threats or anything from CPS.
I was going to say, let's knock on wood. Maybe we shouldn't have even gone there, because God knows tomorrow I'll read about you or something, and then we'll have to have you on we'll have you on as the martyr of the week or something like that. You have students read and analyze such essays as Six Reasons Why the Revolt Against Standardized Testing is Good for Students and Parents of Color by Jesse Agopian. Jesse's actually been on the show and a good friend. How do the students react to that when they read that for the first time?
I mean, again, I really feel like students are kind of just like, they give a sigh of relief because they kind of are like, I knew this wasn't right, but I just didn't have the words articulated, and people were telling me that it was the thing to do, but I really felt like, I never felt like this, all of this testing was really okay. And so it actually helps to empower them to read Jesse Hagopian's piece and to hear about the fact that, you know, when Jesse Hagopian did this in Seattle, that they actually got rid of the test that they boycotted, that you had whole schools boycott a particular test. They also get to see that, you know, students of color are taking a lead in this opt-out movement all over the country. So it's not just about them doing this particular thing, but this is actually something that a lot of students who look like them have also decided. So it really is just a wonderful thing to see. And like I said, it's not like they necessarily just read the text and that instantly believe it. They push back on it too, which is, again, what I've been trying to get them to do all year long, is to basically always critique and always question, always push back on all of on everything, on every kind of text that we read. So it's not necessarily just they read it and are like, you know what, we've eaten this up and that's it. It's a back and forth. And so that's why when they make the decision of whether or not they're going to take the PARC or whatever standardized test, I'm very comfortable with that, because I know for myself that they are making an informed decision.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I'm sure one of the critiques is, here's a teacher just taking students at the mercy and brainwashing them into opting out of a test, doing the work. And so when you sit here and talk about, no, it's a dialogue. We interrogate the test. We look at different documents. We make decisions. In fact, when, statistically, when it comes time for the test, some of your students decide to take the test, right?
Right. And some of their parents, their kids might come and tell them why they don't want to take it. Parents say, well, you know, I think it's the right thing to do, so I want you to take it. And I don't go against parents, what parents want their children to do. Because if I opt my son out and then a teacher tells him he has to take it anyway, I'm going to have a problem with that. So I do not go against what parents want for their kids. And so I've had that happen. You know, I've been doing this work pretty much for 3 years. And so I've had that happen. And the one student who did take the test in my homeroom, and that was pretty much his reason. He said, you know, I don't want to take it. I've talked to my parents about it, but they feel strongly that I should take it. And so I'm going to take it. And I said, and that's exactly what you should do. And so when he's old enough to make that decision on his own, then that's something different. But again, I always stay in line with what parents want. And I think that that's very important as well.
Man, I want to be in your class, Monique. Jeez. Hey, so one last question, and I'll let you go here. So what if I'm a teacher and I want to do this? What advice would you give to a teacher that wants to actively teach against high-stakes testing and teach literally for opt-out? What would you tell them?
Well, I would say to get educated about it themselves. I mean, that's just like with any subject. You know, we don't go in and teach geometry when you haven't taught geometry in 20 years, or you haven't done geometry in 20 years. So it's the same thing. You know, I would just tell teachers to do their homework, to look at and not to just get articles that support necessarily opt-out, but if you really want to create a classroom atmosphere in which students are having a dialogue and are being critical, to have both sides. And so that's one of the reasons why we don't just look at Jesse Hagopian and, you know, those particular people who are in support of opt-out. We also get CPS's letter that they sent home. Mm-hmm. They sent home an actual letter in support of Park and saying why Park was important. So we look at that and critique that, and then we take all of those pieces and have a conversation about all of them, because all of those texts are actually conversing with each other. And so that's one thing that I would also say, is to try to get a variety of different texts. We look at student work, students who have written articles about their experience with PARC. We look at, you know, the so-called experts who create the test. We look at their perspective. We look at the politicians who push testing, and we also look at those politicians who push testing. We look at what decisions they actually make for their children. So we look at a lot of different perspectives, not just what people say, but then what people also do. And that just creates, like I said, a classroom atmosphere in which students are really conversing and really engaging and interrogating text and coming up with their own conclusions. And that's what I think we really need for our kids to be able to do, is to really be able to evaluate arguments, to critique arguments, and to draw from their own conclusions based on logical arguments, based on, you know, how strong arguments are. Those are the real world skills that our students really need, because they're inundated with all of this data and all of this information. They need the skills to be able to interrogate, to engage with all of this data, and be able to make informed decisions.
Monique, thank you so much for that powerful ending, conclusion, advice, telling people what it really means to teach social studies, empowering kids, and as we like to say here, truly busting pencils in the classroom there. Monique Rideau-Smith, thanks for your time. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk.
He is new, he is anonymous, he is rebellious. Welcome to the show, a man who is quickly becoming my favorite blogger, Rebel Teacher.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So check it out. You have just come out with this blog, and I'm probably your biggest fan, of course, because who else within the first 2 days of you putting out a blog contacts you on Facebook and says, yo, we got to talk?
Okay. Yes, sir. That was you, man.
That was me. And you responded. So check it out. Rebel Teacher blog. What's it about? Why did you come up with it? What are you trying to do?
Well, you know, man, I made this blog to try to reach out to like-minded, progressive, to radical teachers, and kind of try to open up a dialogue about the nature of America, of American education, to kind of share my observations and, you know, help people to kind of see the what they call the hidden curriculum that's under the curriculum. Like my website says, my goal is to encourage students and teachers to challenge the subtle perpetuation of ideas that maintain the status quo. I want students to ask tough questions to their teachers, and I want teachers to challenge their own views, as well as the, you know, the typical historical narrative.
Your background is, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a writer. What are you?
Well, my background, I'm a teacher first and foremost. I've been teaching for about 12 years. I'm also a activist in my local community. I'm a member of the Stop Mass Incarceration Network. But yeah, as of late, I've been, you know, trying my hand at writing and want to get some ideas out there.
Well, I think your writing is absolutely powerful, amazing. I mean, your first, you hit us with your introduction, which is great. And I say, quote, you encourage everyday teachers, students, and parents to challenge the dominant paradigms of capitalism, imperialism, racial and gender oppression. You then move into academic underachievement of oppressed nationalities, propaganda in the social studies curriculum, and on the flag salute and patriotism. Okay, so you just went with the left, right, back people into a corner and go for a knockout with your first four blogs right away, letting people know exactly where you come from. So have you taken any criticism?
Not necessarily online, but, you know, in general, just kind of talking to people. But most of the feedback I've received, you know, from the blog has been positive. In fact, all of it has been positive. I haven't, I was expecting a lot of people to jump up and challenge it, but it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I mean, you
kind of looking forward to it, but it hasn't happened.
Well, I think it's coming because you keep writing this stuff. I mean, you know, the flag salute. You really look at the whole idea of talking about the Pledge of Allegiance and throws that out. You know, Jed puts it in his blog and challenges everybody who's reading this to say, why do we pledge allegiance to a flag?
Yeah. Good question. Yeah, I mean, it's going to come.
Sure.
The negative criticism is going to come. But, you know, the other thing that's going to come is gratitude.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hope so. Yeah.
Well, we're already giving you tons of gratitude.
Yeah.
I'm getting that.
But I haven't. I'm hoping. I'm waiting for people to challenge it. I mean, I think it opens up a door for dialogue, so we can challenge each other.
So it's Rebel Teacher Blog. They can get there by going to rebelteacherblog.wordpress.com is where they can find it.
And who is the Rebel Teacher to?
Well, I don't know. That's going to be one of those mysteries. But for the Busted Pencil listener, we're going to make sure that if the Rebel Teacher ever decides to be somebody else, the first people to know will be the Busted Pencil listener. You're a social studies teacher too, right, Rebel?
Yes, sir.
When we look for more blogs for you, is that going to be your typical line of writing in the social studies genre?
I think it will. At least as for right now. I want to kind of keep things in the same vein. However, as time passes, I may, start reaching into different arenas, perhaps into just current events and history in general, and not necessarily geared directly towards the classroom. I may branch out a little bit.
Do you use this stuff in your classroom?
Well, I like to, I don't know who said it. I heard the important quote: a historian has no country. And I try to look at everything as objective and kind of peel back as many layers of indoctrination or propaganda as I possibly can and try to model it for the students and encourage them to do the same. So, we do have questions and discussions around the flag salute. You know, when we in general, I suppose I can say, in general, I try to bring as much controversy in the class as possible.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
But of course, he can't tell them he's the rebel.
I was going to say, now, have you presented them the Rebel Teacher blog and go, man, check this dude out?
It recognizes
his voice.
Man,
I haven't publicized it, like that, at least not out in the open with my students. But there are a couple, when you do this job, you get a small little fan club.
Yeah.
And there are a couple kids that are interested and ask, and I've led them that way, but not very many.
So is there something being written right now?
Yes, there is. Something is in the works right now.
Can you give us a little hint?
It's about, the merging of the educational system with what looks like the correctional system. We're kind of seeing a merger of the two. Where I am, high schools are outfitted with on-site probation officers and armed cops. And we're really seeing a merger of the two. I think the fancy buzzword is the school-to-prison pipeline, and I'm seeing it in action. I have something coming along along those lines.
We will be looking forward to that. That's Rebel Teacher blog.wordpress.com. Jed, what do we tell the rebel?
Well, power to your rebel, but keep busting those pencils, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk with Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jed Hopkins.
It's only fitting we end a show full of rebels with a tribute to a man who was a rebel in his own right, Howard Zinn. Here is our moment of Zen.
Education becomes most rich and alive when it confronts the reality of moral conflict in the world.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Also, log on to BustedPencils.com to keep up with trending news, hear parts of the show, and nominate an activist of the week. For Jed Hopkins, I'm Tim Slecker, and thanks for Busting Pencils.